Our in-depth guest today is Carolyn Dasher, author of the new novel, American Sky. The book tells the story of three generations of American women over the course of three wars, World Wars I and II and Vietnam. The novel has its roots in Carolyn's own childhood, growing up in a nomadic military family, and her fascination with the Women Air Force Service Pilots Program, WASP for short, a group of civilian women pilots in the U.S. who flew military aircraft during World War II. Writer Jenny Shortridge calls American Sky a powerful debut novel about three generations of gutsy mothers and daughters who defy norms while grappling with family, self, love, and war, ultimately learning to fly in every sense of the word. Carolyn will be launching American Sky in conversation with Joanna Rose tomorrow, Tuesday, July 1st, 7 p.m. at Portland's Bold Coffee and Books. We're happy to have her here with us to talk about the new book. Well, Carolyn, the new book is a historical epic, but has its origins in your own personal history, growing up in a military family. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so I didn't grow up in an airplane military family. My dad was career Army. He served in Vietnam. One of my brothers was Army Airborne, so he jumped out of planes, but he did not fly them. But I definitely grew up in a family where, you know, we were around military bases and military personnel, and there's just sort of a, you know, there's just some interesting things that come with that life that I was familiar with. And back, oh gosh, probably about 10 years ago, someone who knew that about me and who knew that I was interested in historical fiction sent me an NPR episode of Radio Diaries that was about the WASP, the Women Air Force Service Pilots in World War II. And I had sort of a vague notion about the WASP. I had heard of the WAVES and the WACS, and, you know, these are all these women's auxiliary military organizations before women were actually integrated into full military service.
Meaning they served as civilians. They were discriminated against and they weren't actually allowed in the military.
That's correct. They were discriminated against. And then in turn, these women's services also discriminated against other people. For instance, the WASP did not allow Black aviators to join. And so there were some incredibly talented Black female pilots. One is named Janet Herman Bragg, and she would have been a huge asset to the WASP, but she was not even considered. So yeah, even within those organizations, there was discrimination back then. But what struck me on that Radio Diaries episode, when I finally got around to listening to it, which took a while, was how proud and joyful these women sounded when they talked about their service in the WASP, when they talked about their time in the WASP. They were living, for many of them, they were living their life dream in that moment. And at the close of World War II, and there had been talk about actually incorporating the WASP into the U.S. Army Air Force. It was a joint service at the time. But as World War II wound down, there was this realization that all these men were going to be coming home from overseas and there weren't going to be enough jobs for them. And that's the same reason the women got sent home from all the factories where they had been working. The WASP were told to go home and get married and have children. And, you know,
that's quite a switch from the excitement of serving.
Right. And flying some pretty significant aircraft. And some of them weren't able to fly again after that. Of course, flying airplanes is not an inexpensive hobby, so you have to have some resources to be able to do it. Some of them found ways to keep doing it, and others didn't.
Now, since they were serving as civilians, though, and of course they performed only non-combat duties, and I think that was out of necessity even. There weren't enough male pilots to go around during the war, though, again, you said after the war they weren't needed and they were kind of thrown aside because they were worried about the men having jobs. What exactly were those non-combat duties? You mentioned that they flew the actual combat planes, but not in a battle situation.
Right. They did not fly combat missions, but they did do some dangerous things. The thing they're most known for is ferrying aircraft from base to base or from factory to base. You know, planes come off the factory line and they have to get to where people actually need them. And so that's maybe the thing the WASP are most known for is ferrying planes. But they did other things too. They were a big part of this early drone research program where they would be flying these drones remotely. They were test pilots for aircraft that sometimes before male pilots flew them. And one of the really dangerous jobs that they did, and a job that I have the characters in my book do, is they towed artillery training targets. So the way that worked was they would take a plane up, usually at night. The female pilot is flying. There's a guy in the back of the plane who's spooling out this target cable. And down on the ground, there are artillery guys, AK-AKs, they called them because that's the sound the gun makes, who are firing up at the target using live ammunition. They trained with live ammunition.
Oh
And
my, that's
yeah,
extremely dangerous. That
it's
is kind of
extreme.
a simulated combat situation.
That's right. And so these were really skilled, precise flyers. And sometimes the AK-AKs on the ground were not skilled and precise. And sometimes they got hit.
There were casualties then?
Well, I don't know that there were actual, I know that planes got hit during the target towing practice. And there were certainly WASP casualties, WASPs who died on the job when someone's flying a lot. Things can go wrong with airplanes. So there were some who died, you know, while flying for the WASP.
Right. Well, I know there was it was quite a breakthrough for these women, and they were flyers before, weren't they, Carolyn? I mean, they had tryouts to join the WASP, as you have in the book, and that was a very difficult situation. I mean, there were thousands of women who applied, and maybe only a few hundred who got accepted, I think. And you have one character in the book, well, one of the main characters, she goes to a doctor to get a health check before trying out for the WASP program, and the doctor, who knows her and her family, says women are too emotional to be trusted with airplanes. So that's what they had to deal with. And even though you said that they were considering the WASP program to be integrated into the Air Force, I read that women were not allowed to join the Air Force until 1976. So, like, over 30 years after the war.
That's right. That's right. There was a huge gap, you know, and that's something that I had also never really thought about before I wrote this book. Growing up in a military family, I had been around women in the ranks. Not there weren't a ton of them back then. There aren't a ton of them now, but they were there. They were around. I saw them, but I never really thought, you know, how did we get from this point in time where the WACs and the WAVES and the WASP were all these siloed off separate service organizations to women serving. And it was not a smooth road. It was not, you know, there was for the Air Force a huge gap in the amount of time women weren't allowed to fly. And you know, some of the WASP, when they went back home, if they wanted and they tried to apply for jobs with the commercial airlines and were told, well, you could be a stewardess, you know. They called them stewardesses back then.
Right.
You can be a stewardess.
And these were very experienced pilots,
Exactly.
tolling to serve drinks.
They had received the exact same training that their male counterparts received, ground school and in the air, very rigorous training. A lot of them washed out and didn't make it through. And some of the ones who washed out were great flyers. Maybe they had a bad day, who knows? But if you didn't make the cut, you didn't make the cut.
I want to get directly to the book now. It tells a complex story, actually, covering three generations of women, mothers and daughters and their families, from the book start in 1908 through 1976. So it's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of characters. You must have started with research and then an outline. This is not the kind of book I think you sit down and they call them pantsers, writing by the seat of your pants.
It's funny how the book grew. I started with the two characters who become WASP, Georgianne Echter and Vivian Shaw, and they meet at WASP training camp and become great friends. I started with them and their story. And then as I went along and I was doing my research, I my research lens somehow widened, and I was reading more about women in war in general. And I came across accounts of combat nurses in Vietnam and the donut dollies, or Red Cross girls, who had also served in Vietnam and in World War II, and possibly even in World War I. I'm not certain about that, but they may have. And these women experienced very traumatic things in the wars they served in. So I thought, well, it's also generationally interesting to me that we have this World War II cohort. And then if they had children right after World War II, those children are coming of age as the US is getting involved in Vietnam. And so you have this Vietnam cohort generationally. And then there's a matriarch of the family.
Right, Adele. So you go back to
Adele.
World War I for her, huh?
That's right. Who, didn't, did home front stuff during World War II, and lost a sibling in World War I, but of course didn't go over there herself. But her story was not as big a part of the book when I first wrote it, and my agent said, "I really, I'm really, I want more of this character, and we need to know how she became who she is, because she's kind of an iconoclastic woman. She likes repairing cars. She doesn't sew. She doesn't cook. She just wants to take apart an engine. And she's trying to raise her daughter to be like her, which is difficult in, the early 1900s in northern Oklahoma, where they live." So, yeah.
Now, Adele's daughter George, who you mentioned, the book kind of started with her and her friend Vivian when they joined the WASP. I was really fascinated by how she got interested in flying, because you go back to when George was a girl in Oklahoma. Adele was her mom, and she first becomes interested when she sees a barnstormer at a county fair advertising plane rides for $3, which was probably a lot of money then. And the barnstorming pilot turns out to be a woman. I was wondering, were those barnstormers the first women pilots?
That's a good question. I couldn't tell you who exactly the first female pilots were, but there were female barnstormers. And of course, the barnstormers did kind of a county fair circuit, around the country, and they would do these amazing aerial acrobatics in their planes. And these planes were,
Early aircraft,
yeah, you
yeah.
might be frightened to get up to climb into one today, let alone let somebody fly you upside down and loop de loop around in it. There were a number of surplus planes after World War I that were called Jennies, and they were made of wood and cable and steel, and they were biplanes, open cockpit. So you had these barnstormers who were able to pick up these planes for not a lot of money after World War I and make money by doing these air shows, hopping around the country and doing air shows. And there were women involved in these shows. And so I thought, how fun to have Georgianne see a female pilot. And even though she's been raised by a mother who is unusual and thinks girls should be able to do whatever boys do, it never occurs to her until she actually sees a female pilot that she could be one herself.
That's her inspiration. Now,
That's her.
your launch event, Carol, is tomorrow at Portland's Bold Coffee and Books, and you'll be in conversation with Joanna Rose. For many years, Joanna, along with Stephen Allred, led Portland's Pinewood Table writing group. Do you know Joanna through the Pinewood Table, or did you just meet some other way?
Yeah, I was late to the game on the Pinewood Table, so I was not a member of the Pinewood Table, but I had met enough other Pinewood Table members that I knew of Joanna Rose. And so the Attic Institute was offering a fiction critique class a few years ago, and Joanna was teaching it, and I thought, well, there's no Pinewood Table anymore, but I can sign up for that. And I did. And we had a great class. We really gelled, and we continued working with Joanna after that class, just independently. And it's been a fabulous writer's education.
Yeah, what a privilege and a joy for you to be in conversation with Joanna, kind of a mentor for you at the launch event.
Exactly. I'm really honored that she's going to be up there with me, and I'm so excited to be talking with her about this book.
Carolyn, thanks so much for talking with us about American Sky. Wishing you a full house at Bold Coffee and Books tomorrow.
Oh, thanks so much, Ken. I really appreciate it.
We've been talking with Carolyn Dasher, author of the new novel American Sky. Carolyn will be launching the book in conversation with Joanna Rose tomorrow, Tuesday, July 1st, 7 p.m. at Bold Coffee and Books, 1755 Southwest Jefferson in Portland. You can find out more about Carolyn, her work, and all her upcoming events online at carolyndasher.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.